Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians that are trying to figure it out as they work their way through life, comedy, and everything in between. Love. Fate.
Fate. Wow.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
That got dark.
We'll hit love and fate. Fate doesn't have to be dark. Fate can be good. It can be a good fate. Some people have good fates, right?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, yeah. You started with love. I thought we were going to get like whimsical. I don't know. But you said fate. We got a winter advisory here. And so my fate is dark, gloomy. Another dark, gloomy January day. But okay. I'm in good spirits.
I was going to say, do you have like one of those sun lamps to like help you stay cheery in the winter months?
I should. I'm pretty good about my multivitamins though.
So that's good. Like
my multivitamins, and then not having a real job helps.
Right. See, I would go almost the opposite. I had like a real serious malaise yesterday. It's one of those things where I got to be outside of myself. First of all, this is Matt Alana Martin, one of your co-hosts. By the way, we skipped right over that part. I hit fate, and man, fate just uncorked something in my co-host, Dwight Simmons. He needed to like jump in immediately and just be like, oh no, I'm not ready for fate.
That's dovetailed the intro there. That's my bad.
You can take all the multivitamins you want, bro, but you are not avoiding fate. Okay.
No,
fate,
not at all.
Cut through all that. But anyway, as I started to say, I had a real like, I was like, just like feeling down about everything yesterday. But I also had the ability to like step out of my own body and look at that and be like, it'll pass. It'll be fine. You know, just get over it. And then I remembered it was Martin Luther King Day. And I was like, well, as a white liberal, I think feeling bad is probably the best thing I could do for the day. You know, I'm saying that's really the best way I can honor Dr. King's memory is if I feel bad for no reason.
That was in his speech, right?
It was implied, I think.
Yeah, I have a dream that one day all white liberals will feel bad. That's good. I mean, that's like the letter from the Alabama prison.
Letter from Birmingham. Yeah,
where he just calls out white liberals. He's like, listen, y'all, I'm sick of your shit.
I know. Yeah.
Get it together.
I think maybe I was thinking of that because, you were down here in Bloomington doing the Cardinal Spirit Show on Sunday night, and you did that bit in honor of Martin Luther King. You did the dream, the KKK dream and everything. And I think, I don't know, I think you just, I was like, I think Dwight wants me to feel bad today. I think.
I was checking every white person's stories just to make sure they had the right level of guilt.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you don't want to burn it all and just save some for Black History Month.
Exactly. Yeah, we got a couple. This is just a test run. This is a practice run.
I did that bit. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on that show.
You crushed it too, man. I had a couple ask me as I was breaking everything down. They were like, "What was his last name?" And I was like, "Simmons." Simmons, and then they didn't write it down, so they immediately forgot it as soon as.
Sure.
I said it to him, but they wanted to know for a moment. They wanted to hold your full name in their head for like a good, minute and a half. So that's how good you did.
Well, I hated it. That's why I didn't go out and like talk to
you
people.
You hated the show? Because you crushed it.
No, I hated my set.
Oh, dude.
Well,
you smashed.
It was fun once I got out of my head. So I had been trying to, I have this audition coming up, and I've been trying to open with this joke that I'm going to do, and it's just not a joke that does well up top. You know what I mean? So, and I've been working on it, so I feel like I've over-tagged it too much. I've over-tagged it. I can't remember the flow all the time of like, does it work better if I put this part here versus here? If I just jump into the bit, is it better? Is it better to like cut tension or live in it? So I have this audition in 7 days and I have all these things twirling around my head, but that opening bit didn't go the way I wanted it to. So that's all I could think about the entire set that night. Like, it was fun. I finally like got it together, but I was like, God damn it. That's all I like. my show on Saturday got canceled in Sagatuck because of the weather, and that was really the room where I wanted to like test it out, let it breathe. And I feel like in at Cardinal Spirits, I just, once it wasn't going well, I was like, let's just bail, let's just get into something else. But it's also like, all right, what do I get into? I just talked about my dad getting stabbed. So
yeah,
what?
I thought it went, I thought it was going well. I mean, obviously, you know, there's different, because you, as you just said, you're kind of maybe in your own head a little bit because you've been working on the joke so much, and that can become its own detriment to a certain extent sometimes. No, I thought you opening with the getting stabbed, that was great. And I've seen you work that since it was the initial idea. And I thought it, I thought it did well. I thought you got the, got a good response on it, but maybe you were just a little too in your own head, or you just didn't hit the beats in the way that you wanted to, because I thought it did great. I thought you were off and running.
That's 100% me. Like not, I was like, this isn't the way that I wanted to execute this. But then that room was so fun. Like from beginning to end, it was a great show. You started out, you, as soon as, as soon as you did well in that room, because it, I've done it before where it's tight the entire time, but you got them like immediately. You're like,
oh, thank you.
You got them like the first 15 seconds. I was like, all
just
right.
Just because Matt's I was cooking. Very honest with you doesn't mean that you have to lie to me now. Okay. Dwight,
this is called, this is called love bombing, everybody.
Yeah, that's the love I was referring to. No, I thank you. It, it was one of the better shows we've ever had at Cardinal. We've done the show series there for several years now because they're a partner with Limestone Comedy Festival, and you know they slow way down during the winter. You know, their biggest draw outside of their fantastic cocktails and their fantastic food is they have this amazing deck. So during the summer, they're crushing it, right? Wintertime, they are looking for things. And so we built this comedy series for them for January, February, March, once a month. And sometimes it can be really tight. It's also a charity show. So sometimes everyone there is there for the charity. And it can be like a heavy, serious charity. Like, you know, it can be like Middleway House, which is like a shelter for abused women. You know, it can be like, so they, not bringing a lot of like big laughers to the venue a lot of times. But we've been working on it. Cardinal's been working on it as far as targeting like the regular audience members that are like, you know, urbanite, kind of, you know, upwardly mobile, got money to throw down on like fancy cocktail and everything like that, getting them to come out to the show. So the shows have been getting better. I think it was one of the best shows. Yeah, I typically don't do great hosting those shows because it's the host spot. You're just trying to get everybody going. So I felt pretty good about it, but I think it took me, I don't think I got him from the jump. I think it took me a couple of minutes until, and in fact, I actually had to call them out. I said, it's like, okay, white liberals, you need to relax, because I had the joke about being in an interracial marriage and my sister also being in an interracial marriage, where the punchline is kind of making fun of white liberals. And they did. And so, but once I called them on it, then I think that's when it opened up for me. It felt like then they got on board. But yeah, top to bottom, I thought everybody did great. Lauren Raven, the first time I've seen her do like a for real set. I've seen her open mics off and on over the years, but she came in and just crushed it. Laura Stockwell did great. Jonas, always good.
Always so funny.
Put Jonas in any room and he's going to be Jonas. And that's really, I mean, that is the highest compliment. He's just going to be. He, man, you talk about a comedian who like is unique. Like Jonas is like in his own lane. I don't think I've ever seen anybody that has that energy.
Right.
Of, I don't know. I don't know very many people who can bail out of a joke and make it as funny as if they finished the joke.
Right.
Which is almost a specialty of his.
Yeah.
And like, he'll give you just enough of the joke that you're already kind of laughing. And then if he decides to dip out, it's even funnier for some reason.
I know. Yeah. Like everyone's on pins and needles and he's like, you know what?
Yeah.
He goes, pull the parachute.
And that's the end of that one. I'm just going to move on now.
He goes, you guys remember when I said I'm gay? You're supposed to like me.
Yes.
Dude, Lauren Raven, great car ride. We carpool together.
Nice.
That's part of this thing is be cool in the car.
Be cool in the car. We've said it before, awesome. But yeah, it, you know, this podcast hopefully is entertaining to just regular people. Shout out to Shannon and Louisville. But you know, for comedians that are kind of looking to this as, you know, a reminder on the way you should act, you know, professionally, and I'll be cool in the car, man. We've hit it a couple times over the 51, 52 episodes of the podcast that we've done so far, but that it cannot be stressed enough. Be cool in the car.
Yep. That's I call that the Marcus Bunn rule, where it's he's a comic from, we name dropping, baby.
Oh my God. Year two, we just start naming the names instead of putting them in the chats, I guess.
Is he still doing comedy? This is
no, let's Google it real quick. We're getting real shit talky on the second episode of the new year.
One of my first road gigs ever was I was opening for Marcus Bunn. Because that's what you have to do in the Midwest when you're trying to work. And we had to drive to Pittsburgh, and I went to pick him up at his house, and I met his wife and had a kid, and she was holding his newborn, like newborn baby, just had the baby. Mm-hmm. His wife packed his car snacks. She had like bananas and granola and candy. She's like, enjoy. It's like very sweet woman. And then we get in the car, and this motherfucker takes off his wedding ring before we are out of the driveway. And he's like, yeah, just so you know, I fuck around on the road. Yeah. And then I had to spend another 7 hours going to Pittsburgh with this dirt bag.
He didn't even ease it in. Didn't even like try to feel you out to see if you would be okay with him being a dirt bag. He just dropped it on you right at the top. Yeah. As far as I can tell, he's not doing comedy. Everything that I'm finding online is very old. He is on the Bonkers with a Z website, wearing one of those like little, like, like the little, like a kind of a fedora, but not quite a fedora that like a 12-year-old boy wears when he thinks he's going to be cool. You know, they're trying to find an identity. You know, it's the hat that Manny on Modern Family wore for a couple seasons, basically to make that point. That's what he's wearing in his headshot. And I will say, people can point out, I have an older headshot where I'm also wearing one of those same kind of fucking hats. So
it was
the only two things. That's the only thing that is similar between me and Marcus. That's it.
You mean you're not doing a bad Antonio Banderas or Geico caveman impersonation? That's what he did. He did those impersonations and they were terrible. They were so bad.
Yeah. Coming in hot. Yeah. This is what happens when Connor Delahanty tells you to keep his name out your mouth.
We gotta put people on notice.
You just misdirect this rage to someone else who
super nice guy. Super nice guy, dirt bag.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you too. Like I definitely had been on the road with guys that were fucking around and it's not cool. Obviously, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say adultery, not cool. I don't know. Like, at least they had the shame. Like, I can think of two specific dudes over the entire time. And they both were like kind of sheepishly ashamed, like tried to explain like their situation or whatever. Like, hey, you know, they knew this isn't like the best look. And also it's like, it wouldn't have been that hard to like not let me know about this.
I know.
It's like, you know, like
now I'm an accomplice.
Yeah. No shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now I got to go back and look your wife back into the eye and say, thank you for the snacks.
Yep.
Leave him, girl. Leave him. Get these kids out of here.
Oh, man. this is not how I thought.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
The podcast is going to go. All right. Hey, should we give some plugs on where we're gonna be before we recap on where we just were? I mean, I know your Saga Tuck show got canceled. Man. We talked about Cardinal for a little bit, but do you want to go ahead and look to the future?
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm so fired up, because I'm spending an entire week in Michigan. Okay. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Your all-time favorite.
I have a corporate that's a fun one, and I am not bringing an opener to that one. That's in Niles. They booked me for an extra night. But I am at the Underground Laugh Lounge of January 19th and 20th. We are doing two shows, 7:30. That's on my website, DwightSimmons.com. And then the 23rd is my audition, my 5-minute spot in Chicago for that Netflix spot. We'll see what happens. But I'm doing a bunch of spots that Thursday, just going driving to Chicago from Michigan so I can tune this bad boy up and find my confidence again, like the Dark Knight Rises. I'm going to spend a week in Michigan. That's my cave.
That's the pit. That's
That's the pit, and I will come out stronger.
the I remember you gotta untie the rope before you make the jump. That's what you
That's
gotta do.
true. That's
Yeah.
true. Doesn't he die in that movie? Oh no, that's a bad analogy.
Yes.
He doesn't.
Look, all I'm gonna say is, like, after next week, I'm gonna be at a nice cafe and I'm gonna look across the crowded cafe and I'm gonna see you there. And we're just gonna raise our glasses at each other, and it's gonna be great.
Oh man, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Can't you tell?
Well, that's great. And did the corporate get set up through the club? Did
It
they
did.
hook you up? Oh, that's the
Yeah,
best when the
I
club is looking
know.
out for you like that, and
Yeah.
that's amazing. And can you say what the company is? You said it's gonna be a fun one, but
I don't think so. I
okay.
think, like, I know what they do. It's like a
Okay.
restoration, but I don't think I know the name of the company.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't. Yeah. So is it? But you're not gonna try and cater or write any jokes to them, are you?
No, they said it was
Yeah.
super cool. They said it was
Gotcha.
very loose. I was like, content restrictions, requests. They're like, do your thing.
Right
They,
on.
yeah. So I'm excited.
Right on. Next week I will, or this week, sorry, not next week. I'm living in the past, baby. This week I will be on the 19th and 20th. I'll be in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, at the Lucky Cat Comedy Room. Those tickets just went up. They were having issues with their website. I think their website was frozen. I don't know if you've seen the weather out there in Iowa. I
Nice.
think the whole thing was frozen. So those tickets are live. I just did my first social media post. I'm going to start running some ads for that as well. As always on this, I will report to the listeners and to the comedians interested, like how much I'm spending, what the return on that was, so you guys can judge whether or not you want to go down that road of dropping $100 on Instagram ads like I'm going to do. Let's see. Yeah. So I'm there 19th and 20th at the Lucky Cat. And then just real quick, jumping ahead, we're having the first don't tell of the season in Bloomington, Indiana on the 25th, that Thursday. Very excited for the headliner who's coming in. You've seen them on NPR. They've got a Drybar special. They're on tour from the West Coast. Very happy to snag them. And we're in a brand new location. It's our biggest location that we've ever done a Don't Tell in.
Oh,
So we
snap.
could pack it out. That would be amazing. And it's also our first one on the historic Near West Side of Bloomington, which is a neighborhood that I called home for many years when I lived here. So those tickets are for sale on my website for all of those shows. And you can get that by Googling my name, Madalena Martin. That'll get you there. That's all you need to do.
I love that. I love
Thank you.
that. He's just Google the name. Also, check
Just
the show
it's easier.
notes.
Just Google. Just check the show notes. Google. Whatever.
Google.
Whatever's easiest. So we did have a topic I wanted to take on before. Well, we'll do the recap and then we'll get into the topic that I had brought up to you pre-taping before we started rolling.
Yeah.
So the Saga Tuck got canceled. Did you have anything else last week? Because I know you were starting to work on this already.
Yeah, I mean, I did a mic and then the weather got bad and so try to stay in. But pretty slow week. I had a clip kind of take off randomly.
Nice. Nice.
I don't like we talk about this. I don't know what works. I don't know why something takes off 14 days after you post it on one platform and then one platform it gets stuck, or I don't know the answer. So I need a social media savant right into the show. Tell me what I'm doing wrong or right. Because sometimes a clip will take off and I'll be like, I would like to replicate this.
Yeah.
But like
Yes.
sometimes you post something, it gets like 20 likes. And you're like, let me delete this. But people are like, don't delete it. Just leave it.
Yeah.
And
And
like,
maybe
it's
this is
fine.
why, because you might have that delayed bounce. That might be why they tell you to leave it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I've talked to a couple people who are social media brand, you know, people for brands or whatever. And so I might try to get some intel from them on what, because that's the problem is, as you know, is that shit's always changing too. The landscape and what works, you know, one month is completely different the next month, you know,
Yeah.
as far as strategy and when you're supposed to post and what the algorithm's looking for and all that kind of garbage. So yeah, I thought yesterday when I was like feeling blah about everything, you know, I taped both my shows at the Brick Room in Noblesville. They were two good shows. Like, I definitely had some organic crowd work moments that were pretty funny and interesting. And to the point that after one of the shows, some couple of the comics were commenting on this crowd work that I got into with this one couple, and they were they're like, oh, like, did you know in the moment that that was going to be good? I was like, are you asking me, am I going to post this on social media? Yes, I'm going to post it on social media. So I still need to clip all that up and everything. And I should have done it yesterday, but again, I was in my feels. But I've got that, you know, on the schedule for this week. Part of my work to do this week is clip up those shows as best I can and post. But you're right. It's like, you can never tell what's going to hit, you know? And it's like, and you've had more success than I have on social media, but even when I get one that kind of gets, you know, 10,000 views or whatever, which is good for me, 10 or 20,000 views. It still does. It's like, is this doing anything? Like,
right. Have we moved the needle?
I mean, it's the dopamine, you know, it's nice, but yeah, that sustained, change from the social media thing is something that you and I are both chasing and we're trying to figure out. And yes, for God's sake, if anybody out there is a social media manager that likes the podcast, would like to be a sponsor of the podcast by doing Dwight and I social media for us, we'll do that trade right now. but I did have good shows in Noblesville at the Brick Room. A ton of fun up there. We had a really small, and I joked around about it last week on the podcast about how low the ticket sales were. But this is also a good reminder, like, don't lose faith. Most comedy audiences buy like the day of. So I think what I said, we had like two sold for Friday. Last time. So that wound up being 12, and it was also the onset of the shitty weather. Right. So fine. And people have never been to the Brick Room. We're not joking when we say 12 people will fill up that room. Like, if they take the tables out, they can get 50 people in there. With it normally set up like club setting, it's like 25 people. Like, that's the capacity of it. So 12 was good. And then the next night we had 23 people, and in that Love room, it. That's rocking and rolling, and it's good. And everybody did a great job. You know, it's one of those interesting things where I can't decide if I like this or if I don't like it, because I had completely different lineups both nights, which is cool because then I get to see and hang out with more comics, but you don't get the rhythm and like the extended hang.
Right.
You know, because like the first night I had Carrie C, Mariah Davison, and who was someone else? Oh, Juan Arellano. The reason I couldn't think of him is because he had to bounce. He had another show, so he was there, did a spot, and then left. And then the next night, I had Thomas Gerson, Daryl Hollenquist, and Max Haddad, and then Eric Sablon, the owner of the club, did a set too, which is cool because I know Eric is a comic, but I've never seen him before.
Yeah,
everyone else I've just named, I've already seen before.
Right,
good to see him again, working new stuff. Good to hang out, but it was cool to see Eric do jokes, so that was fun. And I do want to give a special shout out. I really like Daryl Hollenquist a lot, man.
Great.
I've only seen him a couple of times, and every time I've seen him, it's just very fun. And I was telling him this, like, he has such a fun way of talking about race, like head on, but still making it not threatening to a mostly white audience.
Sure.
Like, you know, which, I mean, as you know, it can be a challenge sometimes, right? Sometimes, like, the minute someone brings up race, a bunch of white people just their assholes slam shut.
Oh God.
It doesn't matter. Oh God, it's happening again. What color the comic is on stage. Like, and they really are like the only audiences that shut down like that. If you're in a black crowd, a Hispanic crowd, or whatever, they're not afraid to talk about race or hear someone talk about race. Now, they might be looking at you like, oh, what you about to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a different thing. But he got laughs the entire time and had nobody like bailed. And he like stayed in that lane for a while.
Yeah.
With his stuff. And I thought it was great.
Which is impressive in Noblesville, which is like so far, like it's mostly cornfields and they built a little city around it.
Yeah.
But like, it's like rich working class white, if that makes
sense. Well, I don't even know. Like, I feel like in Noblesville, it's more of a mix. Like every now and then you get a couple like, oh, they got money. Yeah. But then there's a lot of like down home farmer types that come to those shows too.
Those people have money though. Like I used to go to like Noblesville parties because it's so close to Carmel, and those people, you see, they're like, it's like a country house, but they have a pool and they have like a basement with like a shuffleboard table. Yeah. Pool table and everything. It's like, they have money. They're just
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's a lot I there's a I just definitely a lot more frequency of people wearing camo at my shows at the Brick Room than anytime I've ever done a show in Carmel or Fishers. Carmel or Fishers, people are more like, we're dressing up, we're trying to look like we have money.
Yep.
So which saying the Noblesville people are just like just on the DL, huh?
They're real, what's that show? They're real Ozark about it. That farmer couple that has money.
I think I said the real Amish mafia about it. Like, I don't know which TV show you're going to reference.
Well, you thought I was going to reference Amish mafia?
Yeah.
We know, well, I know so you're little a big
fan.
About it.
I know you're a big fan. And, you know, like being on HGTV was like your second choice. You were like, can I please get on Amish mafia? And they're like, we'd love to, but you can't get the beard correct. And so
that's the only thing holding me back from Amish mafia is that my beard won't connect fully.
Yep.
They're like, you can do Showtime at the Apollo, where as soon as you walk on stage, they'll be like, what the hell is on your face, boy? Pretty much.
Oh man. Is Showtime at the Apollo still a thing? Didn't they bring it back? Or they brought back Def Comedy Jam or something? They brought something back, a classic one like that was brought back last year or something.
I don't know if they're filming it, but I know they're still having Showtime at the Apollo. And I know that Kevin Hart bought the rights to BET Comic View. So, so they're going to do that again.
That's the one. That's what I was thinking of. I knew they were bringing back a classic stand-up show.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I found out about that Kevin Hart one through the Cat Williams interview. That's how I get all my Kevin Hart news.
But what's great about that?
Just Cat Williams talking shit.
Yeah, it's like, it's the free publicity that, you know, Kevin. Yeah. I didn't think about that. But what did you, but you had to fact check it. Like everything in that Cat Williams podcast, you had to then go to Snopes. Everything. Like, you're like, is Kevin Hart bringing back Comic View? Snopes, like, Kevin Hart is bringing it back.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that. That was some big comedy news. And we talked about that last week, I believe, or maybe the week before when it dropped. But another thing that I wanted to talk about that's been making the rounds lately is the AI George Carlin special.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy. You said that you've not seen it. You've just seen the responses to it or people commenting on it.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. So it's called George Carlin, I'm Glad I'm Dead.
Yes.
And that's how that's the title of it. And I know nothing else about it outside of it's AI generated, which I don't think I can click on to support.
I was curious enough that I did watch like the first 10, 15 minutes of it or so.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think it's just so fascinating. You know, first of all, we need to say this is a terrible idea and that I feel like both of us are unanimously against this happening, but I was curious enough that I did click on it. So they got, you know, that 38 cents or whatever the fuck they get from me clicking on their monetized YouTube ad or YouTube. It's essentially a giant commercial for this software, for this AI program. Okay. And they're doing this as a way to like flex and show what they can do, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's who did it. It's created by the company that makes this AI. And we need to also say that, you know, it has been, you know, disavowed by Kelly Carlin, George's daughter, you know, has very eloquently, but very, you know, matter of fact, you know, said like why this is bad. The thing is that it's called Dudezy is the name of the AI thing that put it out.
Sweet name, bro.
Dude, well, here's what's... I'm now reading the Variety article. I pulled it up just to get my stuff correct here. So Dudezy is a comedy AI that hosts a podcast and YouTube show with Mad TV alum Will Sasso and podcaster Chad Holtkin. I thought they were just talking about it, but apparently Dudezy is an AI that they co-host a podcast with. Don't get any ideas, Dwight. I see you're changing your opinion on AI right now. I can see.
Let's see. Tune in next week, y'all.
Yeah. So there's a disclaimer at the beginning of it where it says, you know, what you hear, just you need to understand what you're about to hear is not George Carlin. It's an impersonation of George Carlin that dude see the AI developed in the same way that a human impressionist would. It says, I listened to all of George Carlin's material and did my best to imitate his voice, cadence, and attitude, as well as the subject matter I think would have interested him today. And so the thing that I noticed the most of it is, like, they weirdly, instead of it just being old Carlin's voice, they tried to split the difference between young Carlin and old Carlin. And so it, to me, it's, you can tell it's fake because it sounds like this weird, it sounds like someone doing an impression of George Carlin. Honestly, that's pretty accurate. Whereas in it, they could have nailed the voice more if they would have just gone with one specific era of his speaking voice. And it's, the material is written exactly like a, it starts off with all this stuff about God, because he talks about how he was dead, and but it's not his fault. It was God's fault that he was dead. And so it's all this stuff on religion. It's very Carlin-esque. Like, the way it's structured and written is dead up George Carlin. I don't think I laughed at anything on it. I just was more just like, well, this is really weird and fascinating.
Yeah, because it's learning from all of his work.
Right, so exactly.
His entire life, from probably the hippy dippy weatherman to his last special. You know what I mean? So that's probably why the voice is off.
Yeah, it's a huge, and also, you know, your voice changes as you get older, but also, like, the material wise, it definitely wasn't all over the place as far as doing, like, real super silly stuff, like his early stuff. It was pretty peak Carlin as far as, like, the way it was structured and built and built and built and built and built, and was making this very specific point. It's, you know, it's one of those things too where it's fucked up, it's weird. I don't think it's going to catch on. I think enough people are going to start throwing up, like, legal blocks. People that have other people's estates will probably start throwing up legal blocks or challenging it. But also, like, of all the people commenting,
reading the Kelly Carlin statement and Lori Kilmartin. Lori Kilmartin, who's very articulate and thoughtful, she replied, enraging these fucking hack pieces of shit.
Yeah,
period.
Which is, you know, is also eloquent in her own way. That's a very what you don't understand is why that's Irish eloquent. That's
I mean, I haven't watched it, but I tend to agree with Lori on this one.
No,
it is. If you passed away and they were like, let's just recreate your comedy from your specials or your albums. Me and Denise would be riding in the streets, like, take the shit down.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But also, this, you get to the point that I wanted to make, which is, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, legitimate voices in comedy that are crying out against this, but there's also a bunch of, like, dipshit open mic fuck faces. They're like, this is so fucked up. And, you know, I hope they never do that with my material. And, dude, bro, no worries. No one's going to spend the time programming. No one's going to spend the electricity to run the AI to generate your material. Like, in fact, you should actually hope that they do start doing it to improve your act. It's the same thing. Like, anytime, you know, like, everybody talking about Joe Coy. Let's talk about this. I actually did, when we first talked about it, I had not seen it.
Right.
I went and watched his monologue. It's fine. People saying he bombed. It's a fucking award show. He did fine.
Yeah.
He had jokes. Some of them landed, some of them didn't. Mm-hmm. He was a fucking award show host. People talking about how he bombed, and, like, again, people that have never done anything other than their local,
obviously,
you know,
right,
open mics, talking about it. It's like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like,
well, I saw a lot of people mad that he went at his writers, which, you know,
I
a couple
only
times.
Saw him do it. In the monologue, he did it twice. The first time, very playfully.
Right.
And the second time, it felt like a callback. I did not, because you had said that when we first talked about it. Him saying, I didn't write all these jokes. That is such a stock line.
Right.
For any awards presenter, any awards show thing. And it got a laugh when he did it, because he did use it exactly how he needed to, which was to, like, break the fourth wall or third wall and just be like, hey, I understand that joke didn't hit. And here's, like, a little line acknowledging that now is going to get a laugh, you know?
Yeah.
And so, unless he kept doing it throughout the entire show, I thought the two that he did during the monologue, I was like, this is fine. I don't understand why people are so shitty.
I mean, yeah, it's an award show where no one's laughing. So if you bring attention to the jokes that do well versus the jokes that aren't doing well, it's probably going to, people are going to be like, well, none of the jokes are doing well. Can't
Yeah,
tell which
exactly.
ones the
I should
ones
also
that
point out, I do not like Joe Coy's comedy. I'm not a fan of him as a comedian at all. So this is not some fanboy shit. Like, I do not care for his comedy. But like, I thought he was, I don't know, people going after him, I thought was just like,
I find him grinding. I'm not a fan either, but did
ABG, always be grinding.
always be do they get paid for those award shows? I don't think so, right?
I don't know. I
They
think
get paid
yes,
some
they'd have to, right?
publicity.
I mean, the yeah, I'm sure that's how it was sold to him.
Yeah. I mean, I know like if you perform at the Super Bowl halftime show, they don't get paid.
That seems wild to me.
Yeah, isn't it?
They have to at least cover the cost, because you think of the production costs of putting on, like
Yeah.
when Beyonce brought her touring thing.
Right.
I mean, that the just the production of that is like $50,000
Yeah,
minimum,
easy.
easily
Easy.
$50,000. Yeah.
So, were you a fan? So you watched this. Were you a fan of Carlin? And then you were just interested to see if they'd nail the
Yes.
material, or were you more curious
I
about
was more curious about
AI's?
the whole off the entire thing. I am a fan of Carlin. I mean,
Yeah.
I've been on record many times saying with the seven words, "You can't say on television," is the greatest piece of comedy ever written and will ever be written, probably, for many reasons. And yeah, I think the thing with Carlin, even like older Carlin, late period Carlin, I didn't laugh as much, but he was saying some of the realest shit to ever be said. And I think he knew that, like, time was running out and he needed to, like, maybe not worry about the joke so much and actually say some shit that needs to be put out there.
Right.
I don't know. I think I was just more curious. You know, the way that I just discovered it was like that podcast with Will Sasso came up on my TikTok. I was flipping through TikTok and it showed, and I was like, wait, what? And they're
Yeah.
talking about it. And I don't ever see this other third voice. And now I know why, it's because it's an AI. I just thought like
Jeez.
the camera thing wasn't great on their
Right.
podcast, which happens sometimes. And so like that's when I Googled it and checked it out. And like again, I only listened to like first 10 minutes or so, but it's bizarre. I don't know, listeners, if you have listened to it, if you have a way to get it without them making any money off the monetization of it, you know, you
Yeah.
can, yeah. But let us know what you think. Send in an email and let us know what you thought of that, or also what you thought of Joe Coy's performance on the, it was the Golden Globes, right? That was the one he was
Yep.
on.
Yep.
There's so many fucking award
It's,
shows now, like
I
right
know.
on top of each other.
I
It's
think
hard to
there
keep
was
them
one
straight.
last night
There
that I
was, I
didn't
think the
watch.
Emmys was last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we did not see it because we were finishing up Echo. We were watching Echo.
Oh, any good?
You know, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Okay.
There's a couple of really, really good fight scenes,
Yeah.
like old school, like the Daredevil TV show style,
Love it.
like we're just like gonna really be in this. It's
Yeah.
gonna be a very visceral type fight scene.
Love it.
And then they did, I read this before, but they had done a lot of work with the Choctaw Nation to make sure that they tell her backstory of being like Native American, being a Choctaw, like correctly and like respectfully. And you know, I have friends that are, you know, First Nations, and they're like, yep, the community's behind us, like across the board. First
Oh, it's
Nations are
great.
like, they did it right. It's dope the way they do it. And that stuff was really cool. There's like one distinct moment in like the last episode where it gets kind of Marvel cheesy
Yeah.
in a way that we're like, oh, you didn't necessarily need to do this way, you know, like it gets a little, just a moment of it. I'm just like, okay, you
That's
know.
funny. Well, it's nice that a mega corporation like Disney will actually take the time to do the work.
Yeah.
Like you have the money, don't be lazy, go talk to
Ex
these, like it's like you're doing all of these all this programming that involves underrepresented people, so go to those communities and
Yeah.
yeah, do the work. So
If you're
that's
going to
good to
use
hear.
it, if you're going to use it as a plot point, as a way to give this character or this storyline depth and, you know, make it stand out from the average superhero storyline, then yeah, you definitely need to do that work. And and they even did like some nice touches, like my buddy Samantha Crane has a song on it, and Samantha's a Choctaw Indian singer-songwriter. And she's been getting a lot of work lately because she's got her stuff on Reservation Dogs, and then also Resident Alien is like a fun sci-fi silly thing that Benny and Bazuna, our buddy, writes for. But it takes place in Colorado. And so like there's a large population of First Nations people in the plot and in the characters and storyline. They've used Samantha's songs a couple of times. So shout out to Samantha Crane. If you guys don't know her, check her out. She's an amazing songwriter. And she getting a little First Nation love and get some paychecks from those corporations that want to
get that Disney money, girl.
Let's get a little like legitimate on this. Let's put a little legitimate on it, you know? So, oh yeah.
I love that. That's dope.
Yeah. That's dope. But so anyway, we did not watch the Emmys. We were watching that last night, so.
Yeah, this should be the one thing that I do watch because I consume so much of television. I should be, but Abbott Elementary, which Megan and I watch, won some stuff.
Shout out to that show.
Yep. But man, I don't know. I used to watch every award show, MTV Movie Awards, Music Awards, BET Music Award, Hip Hop Honors, Emmys, Grammys, Oscars,
Spirit Awards,
all that. Mm-hmm. And I think it became too formulaic for me.
Yeah, I'm like everyone else. I watch the highlights the next day online. I watched the Bear accept their Emmy cast on YouTube this morning. Because I heard some wild shit happen, and I was like, all right, let's see the, you know.
The algorithm's after Matt. They're like, you got to watch this drama from the Bearcast, and also
it wasn't AI drama. It was just fun. It was just fun, unexpected moment and during their acceptance speeches.
Would it be funny if, like, you woke up and saw someone did an AI-generated special of you? You're still alive, but like they're just someone wants to fuck with you real bad.
Or they're just like, we just thought we can improve this a little bit. We just I would love it. Are you kidding me?
I need a boost.
I'll take it. I'll take that boost. Because then I could go to the news about it, and then everybody could be like, you know, get some views. It'd be good. All right. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else we got going on that we need to discuss. I think that's all the kind of comedy drama and stuff that I've heard of lately. That's all kind of big national news stuff.
Yeah, we had a slow week. Slow week.
Yeah, week. People are getting back to it, you know.
We did announce the first two headliners of Limestone.
That's true.
We are fully in that season. Have people been reaching out to you about submission, like, requests or questions? I run the social media, so I see people will just hit up the Instagram like, hey, is it okay to take 5 minutes from a longer set? And it's like, yes, do that, but also go and read the submission.
Go and read the page
guidelines.
Yeah, I was actually thinking we might just dedicate a whole episode of the podcast to this, but it might be better if we just drop some nuggets along the way of things that have come up already. I get some people will write a question to me to the email account. Like, so people that don't know, all the email, limestonefest@gmail.com goes to me. Dwight runs all the social media. So that's who you're talking to when you message either one of those places. I will say also that, you know, one of the things that I do is that I pre-screen all the clips to make sure that they work. Like the link is actually active, that you can hear and see the person and that they're 5 minutes, right? And I usually watch a little bit of each clip before I just send it on to the review panel to actually be judged. It's always astounding to me. It says very clearly the clips have to be 5 minutes. And we've gotten so many clips that are not 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And if it's like 4 minutes and 53 seconds, we're not hard asses.
Right.
It's not a great look. It's not the best, but that's not going to be an automatic disqualification. But if you send in a 3 minute and 33 second clip,
that's not like, it, man.
What are you doing?
The festival set is 10 minutes minimum.
Yes.
So how can you expect to be judged to do 10 minutes if you send in less than the required five?
Yeah.
That's it's just use some common sense with this stuff.
Well, it's like you said, read the fucking submission page, the page you have to go to submit. Take if you're not going to take the 3 minutes, that's if you are a slow ass reader. I'm talking about a slow reader. Yep. So you're going to take the 3 minutes to read the page and then send in your shit. Like, we don't really want to fuck with you. So if it's something in there, like we said, it has to be 5 minutes and then you send it 3.5 minutes, I'm not giving you your money back and I'm not giving you another shot because you're dumb. You're dumb. It's not my fault. Same thing. Like it says on there, don't do crowd work. We got one.
Yep.
4 minutes. 4 minutes of his 5 minute clip is him doing crowd work. And it's like, yep, you're doing very well with this crowd work. This is, I could see why you would think this is a good idea to send, but it goes in exact violation of one of the things we said not to do. Mm-hmm. So sorry.
Yeah. It's not that we're anti-crowd work. It's just you have to have an accurate representation of what you can do at the festival, and crowd work is the least repeatable thing. And we don't want to book someone off of a flash in the pan set.
Yes, exactly. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead. I mean, cut you off. Yeah.
No, it's fine. It's just like you had this hot set where you're interacting with the guy's funny shirt up front, but that guy's not going to be at the festival shows.
But also at the festival, we're going to tell people to not, we don't want a bunch of crowd work, because if you have six comics on a showcase, you know, and four of them all try to do crowd work with the front row, that's a shitty show. It goes back to the same thing we talk about where people are sacrificing the show that they're on to try to get clips, you know? And so, yeah, no, Limestone's about jokes.
Yeah.
First and foremost, it is about jokes. And so bring those jokes. It's leave that like, fucking crowd work shit on TikTok.
I mean, all the work that we do to get the field to where it is makes it so that we don't have to worry about repeating ourselves during the festival. At least since I've been a part of it, there's only been one or two instances where like comics have been a headache, and it's usually off stage. Like people come and they want to like show and prove what they can do. Like we like writers. We like people that write good jokes, and that's typically who gets in. And I don't think that's unique for Limestone. This is just good festival submission advice. Read whatever festival you're applying to, and then don't, if you feel like a different clip works for a different festival, do that. Don't batch these things out.
Yes. Yes. You know who you're sending to, you know, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, but it's like, you know, you look at the history of Limestone, and, you know, we've had Bob the Drag Queen, we've had Margaret Cho, we've had Deanne Smith. Like, we're very lefty, inclusive pod, you know, festival, right?
Not podcast. And then you think, not this not podcast. Podcast.
Not the, no, this podcast is the exact opposite. Podcast. We're like, we're a very lefty, inclusive, sensitive snowflake cuck fucking festival. That's who we 100%. Are. Okay. And you think sending like 5 minutes of fucking hate speech dressed up with punchlines, like just the fucking most edgelord, dumb fucking bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, bro. It's like
submit that clip to Joe Rogan's annual comedy festival.
Yeah, exactly. And also, if you are going to submit to, like, we've gotten someone definitely had submitted it to our festival, and the title of their submission clip was to a different festival.
Oh no.
It's like, you don't need the title of the YouTube clip that. You could just be like, it could just be 2024 submission set. Submissions, it doesn't, you don't need to be that specific. It's like, that don't make us feel special. Come on, man.
Can my badge this year read leftist snowflake cuck?
Yep. That's what you want.
Yep. That's what I want.
Actually, everyone's is. If you buy a badge, we're just going to label you that.
That's the VVVIIP.
Those are just some, if you haven't submitted yet, or you have submitted to our festival and you're submitting to other festivals, these things, it's always a good idea to, you know, read what they want and think about who you're actually sending it to.
Yeah.
And I will say, and I always tell people this, man, like, your clip better be popping. You better be doing well start to finish, because it is very competitive.
Yep.
If half the set is kind of meh, don't send it. Yep. You know, you're just wasting money. And that's true of just about any festival these days.
I agree. And nothing is wrong with asking a friend, hey, take a look at the set. I know I was making fun of someone earlier, but like, nothing's wrong with reaching out just to clarify.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You still don't understand. Like, just reach out and ask. This is true for anything. Like,
Yeah.
be nice. We had someone full on panic because they couldn't figure out how to get to the submission form after, and I think they sent you an email. They messaged the
Oh,
Facebook
right.
page. They messaged the Instagram page. It's like,
Yeah.
this clip better be
All within
fucking
like
phenomenal.
90 seconds, they
I'm
were
like,
like
good
firing off to
God.
every single,
A
yeah, we got them
full-blown
taken
panic.
care of. Like we got them.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but they were in a full panic, man. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, just, and good luck to you. And, but if you got that hot clip, then send it in and take a shot, but
Yeah.
it better be popping.
It better be popping. I've done it. I did it twice as a comic before joining, and I got rejected twice. So don't don't
We're
like.
like, we need a good 50%er to come and join us on the pan on the management team. He understands the
He gets
pain.
it. He gets it. That's what, yeah, those 2 years I just didn't read the things. I sent in my 90-second reel.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about like the having someone bounce your set off of. Yeah, like make sure it's a comic, not just like your boy who you hit all the open mics with, and your guys are constantly blowing smoke up each other's asses. Like you gotta have some real objective friends in comedy, And like I am struggling to find. I want to submit to some stuff, right? Like I want to, and I like. Thought I was going to get it from my New Year's Eve weekends at the attic, but as we've already covered, there's a giant piece of tinsel in front of my face every single show.
It's so hard to get good tape. It
It
is
is.
so hard.
And so I did find one like the last time I was at the Comedy Fort, I was just going passing through and I closed out their showcase. It did 20 minutes. Comedy Fort's an amazing club and it's a great set.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about pulling something from that, but it's also like there's one joke in there. That I don't do anymore because
Yeah.
it's a little over the top, dirty, shocking kind of thing.
Right.
And so I'm like, ugh, do I want to send that to people?
Right.
Like, because again, something like I've been saying it to Skankfest. If I just sent that joke to Skankfest, they'd probably be like, fuck yeah, come on in,
Yeah. You're
But it
headlining.
doesn't really, doesn't, I don't, it's not, it doesn't feel like me and where I'm at. It was a fun
Right.
joke to do and play with and push an audience that far.
Right.
But it's like dead center and like what I think is the best chunk from that set. And I'm like,
Damn.
oh, damn it.
Yeah.
So the quest continues is basically what I'm saying.
I mean, it does suck, like trying to find the perfect clip. It takes a long time, as it should, but those are the conversations you have to have with yourself. It's like, all right, think about it like this. If there was like a tie break between me and another comic to get in, would this joke put me over the top or would it hinder me? And I think those are good questions to ask before you spend the $25 to submit to a festival.
Dude, exactly. And and I seriously doubt this person listened to the podcast because I had never heard of them before. But they had submitted. They're having a really strong submission set. It was good enough that I kept watching after the first 30 seconds. I was like, all right,
Yeah.
this person's good. I'm gonna see what this does. And then like, I don't know, 3.5 minutes in or whatever, they dropped the R word.
Oh God. Yeah.
And
See?
they do it in that way of like, I'm not saying it. That's what they said.
Yeah.
That like classic bullshit. And if you're gonna do it, just do it,
Yeah.
own it.
Right.
But I was just like, well, they're not getting in
Yeah.
because I know who's on the panel. I was like, I know this. I know for sure these four of the five people are gonna be like automatic no.
Yep.
Like the one other person might be like, that was one joke or whatever,
Right.
But it was just like, all right, well, that person just blew their shot because they had this one joke where they wanted to be like, they wanted to get
Yeah.
away with some shit,
It is tight. It's tight.
Yeah.
You got 5 minutes. It's tight. Like Matt said, you got to be crushing and don't do that stuff. At least like I know like when it gets down to the deadline, you just want to send in a clip. You want to send in a tape. And I understand like maybe you're not crushing, but if it gets to that point and you feel like the material is good, trust the submission panel
Right.
to see that.
But you should at least be doing well.
Don't
Like
send in silence.
don't send in where you're bombing, where you're
Right.
silence. Yeah, like
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah. But if you I will also say this, definitely the thing that will make you stand out is material that is unique. And it's like there's different cycles of it. But I definitely remember one of the panel members a couple years ago is like, the minute someone mentions Tinder, they're an automatic no.
Yeah.
They were just so burnt out. And this person also is like, selects for another very high level festival.
Right.
Which is always crazy to me. I would never, anyone else listening to this that has a festival, I don't want to be on your panel. the fact that several of them have done it for us, yeah. I was like, well, you already have to do this. Like, you have to do this in 6 months. Why you want to do it for us too? I'm very appreciative that they do that shit. But it was one of those people, like, they were just like, I'm so sick and tired of this premise.
Yeah.
And it was right when Tinder launched and every single comic had a Tinder joke. And
but even now, like, it's Bumble. You know, you watch 500 jokes about the same topic, you're going to burn out.
Yeah. And so if you have a chunk that's about something very different, you know, mm-hmm. very personal, like that's a stronger thing usually.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, I did see a clip as another one of these ones that hooked me so quickly. I watched the entire 5 minutes of a comic that was just dry one-liners, and I was
crushing.
So fucking good. And it's just like, and they were just joke, like a very Brad Wenzel-esque comic. And I was just like, oh, this is hot shit right here. Because it also was very different than everybody else. Like, I was on Bumble, blah, 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 you know?
So my Uber driver was weird last night. Yeah, man.
Yeah. I want to hear some jokes about how dating is easy.
Yeah, flip it and reverse it.
How about some jokes about how black people and white people are alike? How about that?
We different, but we the same. That's speaking of Comic View. That's every comic set. Nah, we the different, but we're the same.
Yeah.
We all eat hot sauce and mayonnaise.
Yep. Together. Yep. Pretty sure that's what the special sauce is at Popeyes.
Yeah. 100% special sauce.
All right. Well, this has been kind of an all over the place episode, and that's what happens when you don't send in questions, everybody. So
it's on you.
It's really on you all. I mean, it started off hot with Dwight just naming somebody and talking some shit, and then we knew it was gonna be all downhill from there. We can't sustain that heat.
No, we're not Cat Williams for 3 hours.
Yeah, like we'll work on it.
Yeah, we're trying.
Oh my God. I want that AI company to come up with an AI Cat Williams interview. it's just like it just pulls like the best comedy advice ever given over the last, you know, 70 years, and also interjects QAnon theories. Like
it's totally unhinged. It ends with just the real Epstein Island list.
Yeah,
as Cat Williams has it.
Yep, mm-hmm. He has the real one.
Yeah, he has. We know he has the real one.
Yeah, exactly. They trusted it with him. So, you know, that will just about do it for this episode of the podcast. Hey, go see me and Dwight. We're going to be in the Midwest. Dwight will be up in Michigan and Niles, Michigan this weekend. I will be in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We're both going to be cold, so cold. So please come out and buy some comedy tickets and have some laughs and see us and warm us up. And we'll do the best to warm you back up with these fire ass jokes about dating.
Y'all remember, adultery is not cool.
Exactly. Yes.